for McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks footy. This is the Sunday Rub.
For Ream hot water heaters. If your hot water needs replacing, accept nothing less than Australia's best. Install a Ream.
For McDonald's Triple M Rocks football, welcome to the Sunday Rub. We're under the roof of Etihad Stadium and we are looking forward to a very good game. St Kilda, they're up and coming. Alan Richardson's got them heading in the right direction. Extremely competitive, but they are playing the top team so far this year, the undefeated North Melbourne. Look forward to that. By the way, we're going down to the room. Scott Thompson is going to be a guest of ours today. Alan Richardson, the coach of St Kilda. And we'll speak with Bryce Gibbs about Carlton's recent run of form. Three wins in a row as well. Thanks to McDonald's, Triple M rocks football on a Sunday. Jay-Z, Jay Clark is with me. Wayne Swass is with me. And, of course, the King, Wayne Carey, also here today. Howie on the boundary. And Chew Man, more commonly known as Chewer, will also join us with the hard yakka stats a bit later on. So, what a good afternoon and welcome to you.
Good afternoon, BT. Looking forward to Drury Peachu's 300th game, how the Saints stack up against the undefeated Kangaroos, and a very happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there too.
Have you done anything significant for your mother today?
Cards, breakfast, that's about it, and then I had to go to work.
What about you, Duck?
G'day, BT. Yes. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. Looking forward to a good game of footy today, BT.
St Kilda are better than people give them credit for, I reckon. They're better organised,
They looked really quick last week. Now, the week before, they didn't have a good day. So, depends on which St Kilda turns up. They have been a little bit up and down this year, but their best is good enough. And if the Kangaroos come here slightly off today, they'll get a very, very big shock. They're not a bad team, the Saints.
Losses to Port, the Western Bulldogs, Hawthorn and GWS, all good teams. Their wins coming against Collingwood and Melbourne. Jay-Z, welcome.
BT, how are you? I gave my wife, beautiful mother of my kids, Fletcher and Stella, a jacket and a jumper and some flowers. Happy with neither of the clothing items.
Got it right.
Okay with the flowers, but every year I just sort of butter up on their Mother's Day and birthday presents. It just seems to really strike out.
Well, boys... Well,
what did you go with, Swatter?
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
Another card and breakfast.
Okay.
Is that enough?
Maybe something wrapped up.
It's probably enough.
Anyway, what about you, Brian?
No, my four boys have taken my wife out somewhere this morning. She had to come to them. They wouldn't go to her. So I don't know. I don't know where they're going. They're probably taking her down the bloody peanut factory or something. I don't know. Down there and load her up with
And what about you tonight with the lovely bride? Will you do anything?
Nothing tonight. Nothing tonight. Going home to relax. I've got to work.
Get on
day for me.
Be serious.
A normal day.
And I noticed no fruit in the bag, which is a concern for us.
Which is
a big concern for us.
I tell you what it's a concern for.
I've been
the rest of the people in this box here, because there's going to be 10 less sausage rolls.
I'm trying to get through today eating nothing, because I had a souvlaki last night, chicken and lettuce. In Fitzroy, Brunswick Street, about midnight last night. Boy, was it bumping down there. saw a few Hawthorn boys down there. Interesting. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Pies off the top, Jay-Z.
Yes, well, they've won four of their last 18 games, fellas. And in a deep, dark hole, you must say, this season.
Since halfway through last year, of 18.
Yep. Now, we know their injuries. They've been absolutely devastated by injuries. They've used 36 players, or turned over 36, which is four more than Richmond. So four more than any other. They've lost Swan, Varco, Langdon, Adams. Had huge injuries. But the defensive system, Duck, is the huge concern for me, because we saw St Kilda do it and we saw Carlton do it yesterday. They just run and waltz through.
We're talking about a team, Carlton yesterday, who the week before kicked two goals against Essendon.
Mm-hmm.
A depleted Essendon.
Shocking,
two goals.
Yeah.
And yet they can kick a score like that against Collingwood. It really does show you the way they're setting up. Or not following instruction. That's what they will say, because at the end of the day, if they're following instruction, that shouldn't happen.
And that is what the players have come out today and said, that it's them that's not following the structure, not the coaches implementing it.
Well, how long does it take to? How long does it take to work out, BT? That always astounds me when coaches say, "Oh, it takes a certain amount of time to learn a game plan." They've been under Nathan Buckley now for what is it? Four.
This is his fifth.
This is his fifth year. So how can they be getting it wrong? That's what I've done. And now, yes, they're young players. Yes, they had a young team yesterday. But how can they be getting it wrong?
Here is Nathan Buckley at the press conference after the game yesterday.
At times it feels like you're sort of on the treadmill and treading water a little bit. Once again, we're our inability to hold the ball in our forward line. It just, you work so hard to get it there, and just the ease that it came out. If you have one or two blokes that don't do it at that time, and then you're running 150 metres back to support your defence, and it hurts.
The question that will be asked, and it's going to grow louder, is Nathan Buckley the right man to coach this football club?
Well, yes, he is. At this stage, you've got to see a plan through. When you ink a plan,
5 years.
Yep. You ink a plan. Well, they say 2017, 2018. I say at the end of 2017, it'll be strongly reviewed. But when you ink a plan, you've got to go through with it. The problem is that Collingwood thought it would be a slow build. They thought they'd be top eight just this year,
yep.
Maybe playing a final. Out of their dreams, they'd win a final, right? That's where they thought they should be, roughly somewhere there. That's now not going to happen. So how much adjustment does it take to get them back on that path to a slow rise so that they can figure prominently in 17, 18? I don't know, but I think once you make a plan, you've got to stick to it and see it to the end.
They've got an abundance of guys that can run through the middle of the ground, which is obviously a key in modern footy. But then you take Cloke's just about cooked. Darcy Moore is going to be, and I'll say this, I think he's going to be a champion. He is an emerging superstar, can do it all. So you've got him at one end, and then you've got a guy that, you're lucky to get 10 games out of a year, Reed at the other.
And Brown.
You look at their spine. They haven't got one. They've got no, so that's an area of concern for me. It's either end of the ground.
Plus, they've got defenders that don't give you any ball going back the other way. Frost is a Dow defender. Nathan Brown is a Dow defender. They gave away traded out Paul Seedsman last year, which was a bit of a surprise. Kept Langdon. And just going back to so they're missing key components from a on-ground perspective with a few holes in the lineup that they've got.
So but can we expect them to be contenders in any game given the significant amount of injuries?
Yeah, I'd be disappointed if they weren't contenders in the majority of their games, but whether or not you get beaten by a better team or like yesterday, you just didn't play to your capabilities, that's the question. But
don't use injuries. They're playing against the side Carlton who... And they were red-hot favourites, BT.
And the other thing, BT, is that, I respect the fact that they have inked a deal and generally speaking, we'd like to think that they see that through, but this is footy. And this is the Collingwood Football Club. If they finish off poorly this year and have a bad start to next year, they shouldn't wait until the end of 2017 to review
it. And I'll ask you this question, BT. If it was anyone else other than Nathan Buckley without his playing career and record, would he still be coach of Collingwood?
And how many years has he done?
Given that they've gone backwards and where they sit now.
No, I think that would make a difference. Mm. I think that person would be in a bit of trouble.
I think they've conceded 110 marks coming into this round in defensive 50. Next most was 70-odd.
16 so they can, yesterday.
So they, can, the yeah, so they yeah. conceded 30 more.
And took two themselves.
Yeah. 30 more coming into the game, and then Carlton again. Let them dry. In terms of the recruiting, so at the start of the year 2, they get Aish, they get Treloar, they get Howe. Now, they recruited Howe as a forward. Yesterday, played back. Played probably pretty well, I thought, but he was recruited as a forward.
Howe has been he's been just above average, and I reckon Treloar has been well above average. Has been in the 7 out of 10, 6.5, 7 out of 10.
Well, Danny
Aish has been below.
Danny Frawley said something very interesting sitting with you, Duck, yesterday. He said, gee, can't Adam Treloar run forward of a contest? Now, I believe that is the internal feedback to Adam as well. He'd probably be in their top three, their best and fairest, no doubt. But I reckon opposition teams are targeting using his opponent running the other way. And I reckon that is a bit of an issue. He's getting the footy, he's running hard, laying his tackles, but his man's getting off him. There's no doubt about that. The Aish thing, we talk
but
a lot
on
about
top
these.
Of that, he Go has on. Been good in the corridor for them earlier in the year.
He has been. He
he's
has
been one of the few ball carriers they've had through the corridor.
What do you think, Duck?
I tend to agree. I haven't. There's not a massive defensive side to his game, and when he has the footy, he looks fantastic, and he does. And you're right, BT, and he does get a lot of his footy through the corridor. Because that's where he parks himself.
That's where he stays there the whole game.
Yeah.
The last one is Aish. And Nathan Buckley is a big supporter of his players, but I sense some frustration. It doesn't happen very often with Bucks. But he says, well, a couple of weeks ago he had 3 and 4 handballs to halftime, and said yesterday, look down the stat sheet, he had 2 possessions to halftime. We're trying to manipulate the side to get him involved. Now, this is a club who brought him to Collingwood. We talk about these guys like they're very good players around trade time, but James Aish has been a pretty big disappointment so far.
Well, you're the news, man. You're the Mr. Herald Sun. Print the headline and write the story for us right now. What are you going to say?
Well, it's Buckley under pressure. This team has got to defend better. There's no doubt about that. And they've got to connect to their forwards better. I mean, Mason Cox yesterday looked like a three-game player. And the players, you know, Travis Cloak and Nathan Brown aren't in the team. So I think Collingwood fans are right to ask the question, you know.
There's a limit to how long someone like Cloak can stay in the second.
Put it this way.
And it starts to do him harm.
Jamison comes back into that side for Carlton yesterday. Mm. Now, we all know that Trav's out of form, but he comes back in. Do you reckon who would he rather line up on?
Yep.
Cox
yep.
or Cloak?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure he was pretty happy that it was Coxy, not Cloak. Yeah.
The last Collingwood headache is the ruck. Caruso gave it to Brodie Grundy yesterday. And I reckon all season Collingwood's been belted in the clearances and in the midfield. They're not getting first hands on the ruck. And I know you can still shark the opposition, but the midfield-ruck combination is not getting connection. So Jared Witts would probably be in the selection frame if he hadn't have got an infection to a hand injury. But Collingwood went after Caruso last year, and Caruso stayed. Just in hindsight, he might have been a pretty handy pickup for them.
Yeah, could have been. But also I think with Duck's point, if Trav Cloak comes back in, Jamison goes to him.
Mm.
You'd like to think that Trav Cloak is at least a two-goal player for the Pies, even if he's out of a bit of form at the moment. They lose by 15 points. Trav Cloak being inside their forward 50, admittedly not in good form, means that it does hopefully bring other players into the contest. The situation or the result may have been different. It may not have been different, but to have Mason Cox as one of your marquee forwards.
And Caruso hasn't been in great touch. You talk about the rucks. And, you know, Caruso
I thought he was excellent yesterday.
Yesterday was probably a bit different, but he hasn't been in good form.
If the players aren't executing the game plan, is the message not getting through?
We asked Nathan Buckley that last night. He said, yep, we've been training it heavily for the last month.
No,
we're
I think when you have
talking about it a lot.
10 or a dozen on your injury list, I think what happens is you get down to the bottom picks. And they're not capable. They're VFL players, and they're not capable of carrying out the game plan. I think their top 25 players are probably capable of carrying out the game plan, and I think we've got to factor that in a fair bit.
I think there are 7 players with less than 25 games experience. So it is very young, and I think that's a genuine excuse. But I think they're still a lot better than what they served up yesterday.
This question, courtesy of Channel 7, was put to Nathan Buckley last night.
Are you a good coach?
I think I'm okay. The results don't... Don't say that at the moment, but I think this is when you're really tested.
Do you lose faith? Do you lose a bit of confidence?
No, I mean, you can't say that you're bulletproof. You know, I'm not bulletproof. Our coaching staff and our football program, our players aren't bulletproof. Our club's not bulletproof.
From what we see up in the stands, we're not privy to the information supplied behind the scenes. Do you think he's a good coach, Duck?
Paul, at the end of the day, as a coach, you're marked by W's and L's.
Yep.
And right now, he's got far too many
four
L's.
W's.
He's got far too many L's next to his name. So he, like anyone, and it doesn't matter. And this is the thing: Nathan Buckley, champion player, and I think the way he conducts himself and the way he represents the Collingwood Footy Club is
outstanding.
Yeah, outstanding. Exactly. But unfortunately, if he keeps getting those L's next to his name, we've seen a great at Brisbane. Michael Voss was a similar player. He was and coaching his old club, and at the end of the day, there does come a breaking point.
They have got Brisbane, Geelong, Western Bulldogs, Port, and Melbourne all before the bye at the halfway mark of the year.
What'd you make of the umpiring?
It's not really for me to comment. I mean, you guys know your footy. I think it's fair to say it was pretty frustrating for our fans and our players. But we'll address that with the umpiring department during the week and ask some questions.
What kind of questions will you ask?
We'll seek some understanding.
Is it just basically the numbers you look at, or was there certain incidents with the umpiring?
It was
a very lopsided number.
Yeah, next question.
For McDonald's, Chopin Rocking Football, Don Pike, coach of the Adelaide Crows, pretty disappointed in his presser afterwards regarding the umpiring. I'll say this in relation to the numbers. The numbers were significantly weighted in the Bulldogs' favour. And my take on that is I never knew there was a rule that at the end of the game, free kicks had to be even or even close to being even. That I just don't get the understanding
of
that.
But you did the game.
Did you
think it was now, there blatant was an freeze? It
overwhelming meltdown on social media and via the phones at 7 last night, I'm led to believe, in regard to the free kicks. particularly in the first half. I didn't notice it in the first half, but when I was made aware of it at half time and I looked a little closer into the second half, I thought they were a little bit hard done by in the second half, and that perhaps there was some currency to what Don Pike, the coach, was wanting to say after the game. But Adelaide, they would have been... They were on the march. They were on the Calder Freeway, and they were coming. If they could have got here in time, they would have ripped this place apart, I reckon, the people in Adelaide watching and listening last night.
Well, it was 28-12, and one of the umpires, Troy Pennell, played 17 free kicks to the Dogs.
And Chris Donlan, the senior umpire, only paid 2 for the whole game.
Yeah, so that's not much of an involvement. But Troy Pennell, 17-1. Now... I think we might be jumping up and down and storming a teacup here, because the Bulldogs are the number one team for getting free kicks in the competition. They're a good contested footy side. They get to the ball first. They get their hands on the footy. And like we saw with Joel Selwood, you know, these guys win free kicks. So I would say if you're Don Pike, get your hands on the footy first. I mean, as you said, BT, it doesn't always have to be even. You go through the highlights and the replays. I think there was maybe a couple of, you know, ticky-touch
rubber
runs
the green,
there,
JZ.
But yeah.
Rubber the green. Sometimes it goes your way. Other times it doesn't. I think that if you're Adelaide at the end of the night, you'd probably have to say, yeah, we're hard done by in that area, but we also came up against a pretty good team who played some bloody good footy.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think... at the Adelaide Crows this week or the next 24 hours, they should be looking.
The bigger concern, I reckon, from an Adelaide point of view that they would have is the fact that, I mean, Taylor Walker, I think, escaped what looked to be initially a serious knee injury again when he came off the ground. But Jerker Jenkins kicked 8 goals last night. Tommy Lynch kicked a bag, and Taylor Walker's not having much influence on the scoreboard for the Crows. So that's probably a bigger concern as opposed to how many free kicks we get or we don't.
We all think that both these sides are going to finish competing for the top four, don't we? Whether they fit in there or not, I don't know. That'll be a numbers game at the end. But they're going to be in the top six, and they're both really good teams, regardless of the result last night.
How good was the standard of footy?
Yeah,
even from a calling point of view. I mean, we sat through last week's Carlton-Essendon game, 9 goals in 3 quarters. We had close to 35 goals last night.
So the best defensive team in the competition, the Bulldogs, last night, as statistics show, against the best attacking team in the competition, Adelaide, last night. And people want to know often, what is the answer? Does defence win or does attack win? They got the answer last night, even though it was tight, that defence won, because they were bloody good defensively again, the Dogs, again last night.
Well, both over 100. So the Bulldogs took them on at their own game and beat them.
You won't get that in the end. Big final, though. You won't get that style of footy in a big final. I don't think you'd have a 36-goal shootout. Not in a big final.
Yeah, well... yeah, the elimination final was the same two teams. I mean, can the Bulldogs transfer this game plan onto the MCG as well? That will be the thing that will be interesting as we learn throughout the course of the season.
What about
the first time next week they leave?
Yes, that's right. What about Marcus Bontempelli? Last year's elimination final third quarter misses a couple of crucial ones.
Big kick
hurts
last
his
night.
Hurts his team big time. Steps to the line. Game's on the line.
Yep.
What do you make of it?
Yeah, no, it's just a clutch kick. And I think that he spoke with Lingy after the game on the ground, BT, and he just said that you've got to take your lessons, you've got to learn it, go back and almost embrace the opportunity. He was terrific. I thought Jakey Stringer played his best game. And I've got to say, last night, that was a return to Murphy, Suckling and Johannesson playing. Minus those three players last night, they were back to their ballistic best.
Yep, they were. You mentioned Stringer. Dark, interested in your thoughts here. I think my opinion on Stringer is that he thrives when there are other forwards that are targets. Yep. Redpath was a target last night.
Campbell.
And was it Dixon, I think, as well. When there are other targets there, big Campbell, as you mentioned, big Roughhead on a couple of occasions as well. And that allows him to get the second or third defender and also allows him to get out the back, turn his man inside out, and away he goes, he's in motion.
I also thought that he would have been disappointed in his game the week before, as simple as that. And he's a talented footballer and he's got pride in his performance and... he was always going to come out and, you know, always going to come out and have a really good game.
Because he was unselfish.
He's got... Hey?
Did you think he was unselfish?
He had 4 assists last night.
Yeah.
Goal assists, right?
Yeah.
I reckon he almost... Obviously, they'd said to him, now, listen, mate, you've got to play the team game. And that's all right. That's something he's got to work on, and we all understand that. And I thought he almost overcompensated last night, but he still did it. He's understanding that needs to improve and look like he's taking steps to improve.
There was at least one he gave away in the goal square. I wouldn't
be giving him away.
There's even the game yesterday, there's so many forwards that giving handballs because they think it's the right thing to do and putting their teammate under more pressure than they are when they can actually get the kick away. I would prefer them to have a shot. Yeah. Now, whether it's over their shoulder or, around the corner kick, guy like Stringer, don't give it to someone that's under more pressure than you if you can kick the footy.
And also the possibility of skill error. So if you've got the footy and you can run to goal, right, what is the point of giving it to a handball that can someone can run a goal when you could make the mistake with the handball, they could make the mistake with receiving the handball. You're better off to limit the mistakes. And I think that's the counterbalance he's got to get
I loved
right.
his response when he came off with that cork thigh too.
What did he say?
Well, no, it wasn't so much what he said, but his ability to accept that and deal with it and go back out and contribute. I also want to mention and acknowledge the performances so far this year from Dale Morris and Matty Boyd.
They've been
unbelievably good, Jay-Z. Dale Morris is playing better football now than what he was playing before he had that serious broken leg. And Matty Boyd is just a man that continues to step up. His use of his hands is outstanding, playing elite-level footy and covering beautifully for the loss of those three halfback flankers.
And that's why, from a list management perspective, you can't be too quick to chuck these guys out if they do have a flat month or whatever, because you're absolutely right, Schwatter. They've been spectacular since Murphy's gone down. I think the leadership's been outstanding. And Jason McCartney, the list chief there, I mean, they'd be looking at new contracts for these guys when you would have thought that 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, I think under Brendan McCartney, Matty Boyd was nearly out on his way to Carlton. So that was very nearly a trade that happened. He was probably a bit disillusioned. So I think you're spot on. Murphy goes out, and these two guys, it's a great story, have been sensational.
Just watching on the TV, the Chemist Warehouse screen at the moment, Big Will Minson's battling away in the VFL against North Ballarat, and they're doing it comfortably. I can't see Big Will coming back in because Tommy Campbell's paid two good games, and even though he's a big boy...
Injury fodder.
Redpath is a presence too, covers the ground, can kick a long goal. It's going to be hard for
Big
Will.
He's just insurance. He's just a backup if they have injury problems. They looked at trading him, but in the end thought, we're probably not going to get much for him, so better off just keeping him at least to support the other guys.
That's quite remarkable when you think about it. It's only a couple of years ago he was the All-Australian ruckman.
Yeah. That's right.
Averaging 45, 50 hit-outs a game. But it's his work around the ground. Bulldogs fans are thinking, why isn't this guy in our mix? I think Luke Beveridge, the coach, was frustrated with his inability to have much impact around the ground.
5-2, the Dogs. Wins against Fremantle, St Kilda, Carlton, Brisbane and now Adelaide. 4-3 are Adelaide. Their wins come against Port, Richmond, Sydney and Fremantle. Shortly we're going to speak with the coach of St Kilda, Alan Richardson, about his team, who are playing with some renewed zest this year as well. How do you reckon the Saints are travelling, boys?
I reckon they're going beautifully. Almost got... Their season would be even better, Jay-Z, had they been able to get over the Hawks. Had to drop off the week after that, but then against the Giants, bounce back last week. Look, I think that the Saints under Rich are doing a remarkably good job. Good sign also. I think Rui's going to... Has he inked a new deal, or is he
very
not
close,
far from it?
Not yet.
It's a fait accompli, though.
He's almost been the story of their season so far, like many other years. His form throughout the early part, you know, we worried about his knees sort of a couple of years ago, and he had some issues with his goal kicking. But, Duck, at his age, you still must even be amazed just how consistent he can play. Yeah, and now covering ground in the midfield.
Yeah, his kicking's got better in the last few years than what it was prior to that. And the thing that he must be loving is, you know, the fact that he's come up onto the wing and now he just drifts forward. Mm. So he determines when he ends up in that forward 50 and when he doesn't. And he's been great. I mean, he was their best player last week. He was absolutely brilliant. And that may be a little bit of a concern, the fact that, you know...
So if he does go on next year, does he... Does he carry the captaincy with him, or do they look at Noons, Billings, Geary, Stephen as what do you do?
I think ideally they'd be looking for one of the emerging leaders to take that off him.
And so why would you rob a guy that's done such a great job?
I don't think you do. I think he just holds it until such time as he retires.
I think so too.
I don't see why you...
But there's the theory that, and you guys would know, I wouldn't know, but the theory that, you know, it helps sort of take that extra pressure off you and lets you sort of more enjoy the final part of your career. Does that exist, or have we made that up?
Oh, no, I think if you've done what he's done, been as captain for as long as he has, then you're not going to approach anything any differently anyway. Mm. So, why put the burden on someone else when this guy holds it so beautifully?
It's a good point. The coach of St Kilda is joining us now. Alan Richardson's down at ground level. Rich, I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. What about that question? Nick Riewoldt looks like he's going to ink a deal and go on again next year. Do you agree with the theory of Wayne Carey there? You might have only caught the back end of it, but why lump someone else with the responsibility? You might as well go all the way.
You're talking about being the leader again if he was to go on. Yeah. I suppose it depends on whether you reckon you've got someone else ready to go. That person doesn't absolutely have to be cherry ripe, but they certainly have to show enough signs to suggest they're going to be really strong in that space. I've always just wanted the leader to be the captain. I'm not necessarily into succession planning. In fact, I'm not. If there's a really strong leader, I think it's pretty artificial if you go any other way. Having said that, Nick himself at the start of this year, BT, said that he's looking forward to working with our next captain, and that's a conversation that we'll need to cover off as the year unfolds. But he's certainly leading strongly at the minute, and that's all we can ask.
Yeah, no, he's doing it well, Richo. Hey, a long way to go in the season, but after six rounds, how have you rated the season so far, Richo?
We've been inconsistent. Our better footy has been better than last year. So, the Dogs and GWS certainly got hold of us. Hawthorn is a game that we perform pretty strongly in down in Tasmania. We know that they're pretty hard to beat down there. Port Adelaide was another loss that we were right in the game, and then they ran over the top of us on their home deck in Adelaide. So we would rather have had a couple more wins. But more importantly, our focus is about the way we play, the way we defend. Our defence has still had some holes in it. I'm talking about our team defence, our ability to be able to defend from the back to the front. In fact, this probably tells you a little bit about the way we're going. We're the number one in the competition in terms from rebound from the back end to the front end. We're number 18 going the other way. So that's been frustrating. It's been disappointing. It's a work in progress. There's no doubt we're not going to go where we want to go unless we get that right. And that's clearly been a focus during the week and the week prior to the Melbourne game last week.
How do you go about tackling the Kangaroos today, Richo? Is it? I've loved the fact last week you looked a quick team, and that's an area where the Kangaroos may be vulnerable on the outside. Maybe is that an area you're going to take the game on today?
Yeah, no, we will. We're not going to back away from our offense. We want to go aggressively, after our offense, and that starts with winning the footy or defending and getting the ball back. That's pretty clear, in terms of the message to the players. We know that their inside group is really strong, and that's not dissimilar to Melbourne. Melbourne's insiders, on the back of a really big, strong ruckman, have been in good form, and we were at times able to get on the outside of them. So that will be similar. That's the way we play. We think that we've been able to get a little bit more speed in around the ball. I mean, the difference is Jacobs tends to go to that player. He's the tagger, if you like, that tends to go to the speed on the outside. So that'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, and we might be able to move that matchup around, hopefully to give us an advantage.
Richo, how do you curb their forward threat? The venom they pose in the air, how damaging they can be, that big, tall forward line. What's your instructions to your troops in terms of trying to combat that?
I will look to support, first of all, with pressure on the ball. If Bastanac or Del Santo or Wells are able to get in time and space and make decision and give the forward an opportunity, from a time perspective to get off their man or even for that kicker to be able to see isolation, we're going to struggle. There's no doubt about that. So our focus will be to get pressure on the ball. Now I'm talking about in-your-face frontal pressure, and we've been pretty consistent with that. That's something that our team has got onto, and that was strong last year as well, so that's continued. But then also our backs will be looking to get off and support whenever they can. We will be undersized at times down there, particularly when Wood goes down there as well. So that'll be a challenge for us, but a challenge that I think, we've got some experience down there. Those guys that are potentially undersized, they've also played a lot of footy. The guys they're on have also played a lot of footy. So, that'll be a very, very important part of the ground for us.
What about your own setup, Richo, as far as coaching goes? Who's your number one sort of right-hand man? Who's your most senior? Is it Sexton or Kingsley? And who's the most likely out of those guys to perhaps one day fulfil their dream and coach at this level?
Look, they're both really experienced people. Sexton, not the traditional pathway, if you like. Whilst he was a footballer at Port Melbourne and I think drafted to the Kangaroos as a young kid, didn't quite work for him. He then went into the, he was a teacher and has been in the TAC Cup program and He's a really impressive person, a great student of the game and a really good educator. Kingsley Premiership player, been at Port Adelaide as a coach and certainly now a fair bit of time here at the Saints. He's doing our midfield. Certainly Adam is just on the level four. He's an impressive guy. If you know, and what needs to happen is our team needs to have success, and he'll get a bit more focus on us and what's happened. And I think Kingsley would be one that potentially would be looked at. He's certainly heading the right way.
Very impressive. I think at the start of the year he did a bit of a media presentation. He was excellent.
Just for those coaches out there listening, Richo, a level four can only be achieved at this level, can't it?
Yes, it can. It's application only, and my understanding. I don't know all the details, BT, but yeah, my understanding is they're only picking people from the AFL assistant ranks.
Richo, how many times did Danny Frawley tell you this week that you got kicked by a horse? Seven or eight?
Yeah. In fact, he had a bit like a country and western guy puts a notch on their belt when they've killed somebody. He had it up there, tell the horse story, and he had a few. He had a few notches up on the whiteboard, but yeah, you know, it's a beauty, isn't it?
Is he a downright pest around the club, or do he actually get something out of him?
No, he's doing some really good work with our young defenders. Goddard, who's an emergency today and is unlikely to play, he's doing some really good work with him. Young Coughlin, Tommy Lees, you know, we've tried to turn him into a defender, but he played all his footy as a forward, and he's done some good work there. So, no, he's a very good teacher of key position defence. And he's doing a really good job.
Great to have Alan Richardson joining us here on Triple M in the lead-up to the Kangaroos game this afternoon. Drew Peachy notches up 300. Hey, Richo, keen to get your thoughts. Has the reduction of the interchange helped Tom Hickey? Because he seems to be finally starting to get to that stage where, A, he's confident, and, B, fulfilling some enormous talent.
Well, he's a good endurance athlete. He's not a big ruckman. He's certainly not a heavy ruckman. He's tall enough, but he probably gives away 5 or 6 kilos, most games. That'll be the same again today. He's a good jump. Centre bounce has become such the most important clearance by a long way now, given that that's the clearance you can't support with numbers. So he's going really well. There's no doubt that I think from an endurance perspective, he's able to finish strongly over. Teams that have the one ruckman and potentially are bigger of body. So it's certainly working for him.
I had my last one, Richard, just on Blake Akers. It looks like you've really found something in him, but you'd put it on him a bit. I mean, reading some commentary from him or some interviews from him, he sort of said he got some pretty direct feedback from the coaching staff about his game. Can you just enlighten to us about sort of his journey this year?
Yeah, he's a terrific young man. He's a really exciting talent. He's a big man. He's mid 90 kilos. He's 192. He plays in the midfield. He'll play a bit forward today. He's got fantastic endurance. He's probably our best athlete from a combination perspective. Every now and again, you guys will think he's going at half pace. He's a bit of the Reece Jones from that perspective. He's a long strider, so it doesn't look like he's covering the ground, but that's not the case. He's really strong in the contest. He's at times all of those things I've just mentioned. He hasn't been consistent in. So that's been the message. You'll stay in the team when it is you can be relied on and trusted to execute what's important to us. And last week was terrific that he was able to perform so strongly for us.
And finally, mate, before we go, how's Jakey Carlisle going? Is he still sort of out on the building site? Working with those guys, and is he having any involvement in your other sort of young defenders and forwards helping those guys?
No, look, not really is he having any involvement. He's not allowed to. He's certainly catching up from time to time and just having a brekkie. He was around home with me and a couple other boys last Wednesday. He's in good spirits, or as good as can be expected. He's a footballer. He wants to get out and play, so that's frustrating for him. But he's back. He's back on tools. He had the surgery on his hip. So he's on light duties. I think he's stuck in the side shed just annoying people really now. I don't know what he was doing before that, probably not much more. But it's good that he's got some routine. He's got to be there at 7:30 in the morning and make sure he's doing the right thing by his employer. And the feedback from the people that have employed him has been really positive, and that's good for us.
Richo, we appreciate you being so generous with your time. It's a big day today against the Kangaroos. All the best.
Good on you guys.
just a ripper, Richo, as it is, and sort of player. I mean, sort of person. I know him, but I don't know him well. But you'd just like to play footy for him.
Yeah, yeah. He kept knocking on the coaching door.
Good guy,
too, didn't he? Persistence been, got
yeah,
knocked
absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely, did yep. a big apprenticeship. It's funny yep. how Some the guys that have Hinkley. Done big apprenticeships mm. are making really good coaches. Mm.
What are you saying, Doug?
Nothing. Exactly that.
We were talking about Collingwood earlier, fellas, and just quickly, you know, when the pressure builds up on a club. What did you guys do to sort of relieve that pressure? A circuit breaker, a left field option. Malcolm Blight came up with some weird things with the Geelong boys back in the day, where they would stop the bus in the middle of a paddock and do kumbaya or something like that. What did you do, Duck? When the chips were down, did you have 10-pin bowling? What did you get up to?
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Dennis often used to, you know, load us up on the bus and take us down to the ocean or yep. take us to. Sometimes he took us to a pub on a Monday. And
two pots
and made us tell a joke, and you know, I remember thinking, Monday, I'm here to train now. I've been in the pub all weekend. but he's yeah, so just stuff like that. It's more what you do, I think, away from the yeah. club for yourself rather than what you do collectively. It's look, the game has so many downs in it that you just you have to have a release, and that's why I think sometimes the guys that absolutely live and breathe it. Mm.
Footy.
Really live and breathe. They can have their yep. peaks and troughs.
Do you look at sort of modern clubs, so short, and think it's too serious? You know, like, do you see the players and the everything you hear? Like, do you sort of think that, you know, back in your day when you had these relieving moments or the jokes is in the club that actually helped the balance of a squad?
Yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, I mean, we don't know. All the clubs are different. Most footy clubs are the same. Doesn't matter whether it's AFL level or even in the country. They're great places to be around. And you need characters. Mm. You need characters. You need guys that lighten the moment when, you know, things are tough. Mm. Because, as I said, there are just so many downs and injuries and everything else that goes on. That's really important.
I reckon it's important the coach is able to lighten the mood himself sometimes. And also, if he can't recognise it, he's got somebody within his assistant coaching group that suggests the fact that back it off a bit. But I agree with Duck. I think that if you're relying on the club to give you the circuit breaker, you've got to actually drive that yourself. Yeah. So, for instance, when I played at Sydney, I played golf twice a week, completely shut off for 5 hours and just went on the golf course. Mm. And I think it's important to have an outlet outside of football, because if you're constantly thinking about football without any other thought going through your head, it's only going to end one way, and that means that if you're in bad form, you're going to stay in bad form because you've got nothing to think about outside of that.
And that's interesting. Remember last year we were talking about Luke Beveridge telling a joke just before the games, you know, in his pre-game meeting. He would just always sort of tell a quirky little thing, which sort of helped relieve the mood, because he said guys like Matty Boyd were so intense and he just had to take the edge off it. And I think, you know, when listening to you guys talk, it's really interesting just how valuable that can be.
The skipper, well, he's made his way down into the Kangaroos rooms, and we're going to hand it over to BT to do a little bit of a roving sort of scene setter. BT?
Thank you, boys. Yes, been down in the North Melbourne rooms for a couple of minutes. The boys have just finished their team sort of Sammy warm-up, I reckon, as Scotty Thompson joins us. Is that what it was, Scott?
Yeah, just a bit of a relaxation kind of warm-up, and then you get a little bit more involved, but a very slow start.
So what stage of preparation are you at personally?
Yeah, so I've just got my strapping done and had a massage, and then I'll, in about 20 minutes, put my gear on, put my boots on and go to the coaches' meeting.
And tell me, the 300 stuff with Drew, has that been put aside now, or is there still more to come? Have you dealt with that during the week, or do you continue with that a little bit today?
I think we've talked about it during the week, but I think he'll get his jumper presented to him just before we go out, so that will be the last thing.
What's it like going into round 7, being the number one team in the competition? Everyone wants to get a piece of you.
Yeah, it's good. I've never experienced in AFL, and everyone wants to have a go at you, but we have our things we want to be the best at, and so if we can do that, hopefully we can get the win.
Saints have been ultra competitive. Who are you likely to get today?
Yeah, obviously they've been really good up forward with their three talls, so it'll be a team defence, I think, today, and with their three talls, we'll be going through them all.
But what's the reason for you guys playing well? If you could put it down to one aspect of the game, where do you think it is?
Probably our mid and forward pressure. Yep, it's been fantastic, and led by Andrew Swallow with the tackling. It helps the defence out a lot, but yeah, that forward pressure as well, Jared Wade.
So is there another address to come from coach here before you go out?
Yeah, we'll have two more addresses. So we haven't had one yet. In about 20 minutes, we'll have our main one and then go for the on-ground warm-up and then come back in for another five-minute one.
As you say, very relaxed here. No one really stressing out too much. I see Michael Ferrito over there. He's got a bit of a giggle. Everyone's having, not a laugh, but they're not stressed.
Yeah, I think the game goes for so long, you have to be switched on the whole time in the game, that you need to just relax and not mentally switch on straight away, not until close to the game.
Well, good luck today. Hope it all works out well for you and you play well.
Thanks, BT.
Scotty Thompson joining us there. As I just take a bit of a boat peep around the corner here, as I mentioned, Michael Ferrito here at the moment about to do an interview with one of the broadcasters as well. Most of the players have gone into their respective rooms. As I take a bit of a peep in the tape room there, I can see the shoulder being done to one player. I can't quite see who it is. He's got his back to me, but there are a number of players in there. I can see Daniel Wells getting some treatment on his leg at the moment, so he's going well. And a few past players here at the moment as well, down in the North Melbourne rooms from your era, Duck. So a lot of those guys floating about down here as well. But a very, very relaxed atmosphere. Jared Waite just walking past, and he's been in sensational form as well. So very relaxed rooms here at the moment, and it is amazing giving this team sits on top of the ladder at the moment, and they can do it this way, and others seem to have trouble doing it. So a really, really good feel in this room.
Very nicely done, Brian. We'll
it's a nice scene setter.
Yeah, very good. And you tend to be relaxed when you're six and zip and get ready to go for number seven, I would have thought.
It's an interesting room. We actually did broadcast from there a couple of weeks ago on Friday night, and Swatter, it's funny because they choose to play loud music before they go out, so... You know, I guess if you don't like that, too bad.
Jack Zeeble's in charge.
Jack Zeeble's in charge of the music. Well, and by the way, I thought Friday night was better than last year. They had this real doof doof crap, which I don't like at all. Well, I would have, you know, I like a little bit of
George Michael,
or you know, I don't know, Pat Benatar.
Hit
me with your best shot, or something like that. Jimmy Barnes, no second prize. You know, that type of stuff. But, no, it is. It is great access that we all get, though, now to the rooms to see how the players prepare. And it is so much more. The difference between right now and years gone by is it's so individualised. Players are allowed. You see, we're watching here now as players go out onto the ground.
We'll come back because BT's managed to grab one of the assistants to Brad Scott, and that is Lee Tudor.
Yes, BT. He's just about to join us. Just ducked back into the room. So Brad Scott's just caught him in there for one sec. So he's just coming out here now. As I see, Robbie Nahas coming towards us as well. His first, I think it's his first game for the year. Hey, Lee, how are you? Is it Robbie's first game for the year, Nahas?
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M Football. What's your role from here on in, Lee?
Stay out of everyone's way, really. I mean, we've done all our work during the week, our preparation, so now just let them relax and get ready to go out and start well.
We know they'll have an all-in meeting with the whole team. Do they have any line meetings from here on in?
No, we've done all that, so now a few of them will come up and, you know, have a bit of a chat and try and relax themselves, but no official line meetings.
What's your responsibility? Is it mids, forwards, backs?
Forwards now, so yeah, hopefully we can mark a few today.
Well, you've been clunking it down there all year. Big Drew, is he excited about the opportunity to play his 300?
Pretty relaxed, Drew. Every week he comes in, it's just another game for him. So there's been a little bit of stuff he did early in the week, but he's ready to go.
You've been watching footy, a lot of scoring going on at the moment, some really attractive, good football going on. Do you swallow it? Is this what we're really going to get for the rest of the year?
It's funny, I'm a forwards coach, but I always watch the defensive stuff. So hopefully today we can get a few tackles and get the ball back and score from that way.
We saw last night Dogs in Adelaide, defensive team. Dogs are very, very good. Adelaide, great attack. Defence wins out. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, well, last night was a bit about momentum. I think you need to score when you've got momentum. So, you know, that's the plan today. Well, if we're in control of the game, you just need to put some score on the board.
Who's the one player that needs the most talking from a coach like yourself? You're addressing the forwards. Who's the one player where you need to give more information than perhaps, say, a Drew Petrie?
Yeah, probably Mason Wood. He's just new to the game, and I wouldn't say he gets nervous, but he always likes some feedback, and he comes up at most of the breaks and asks some questions about what can he do more. So he's in a good place, but he always likes the direct feedback.
Good luck. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brian.
Lee Tudor, senior assistant coach here with North Melbourne. Boys, back to you.
Nicely done, BT. Kangaroos just getting ready to go. We've heard from Alan Richardson and the Saints. They've got a big job today to curtail Drew Petrie, 300th game. He becomes the fifth Jay-Z Kangaroo player to notch up that milestone. So well done to him.
course, Jay-Z, I read your paper with anticipation this morning. I was looking up the Carlton Collingwood results, seeing who played well, who didn't, as I didn't see the game. And I noticed that you had Gibbs down as winning the three. Cripps down as winning the three votes, and not our next guest, Bryce Gibbs, who just got the two. So you've got a bit of apologising to do there. Bryce, welcome to the show.
How you going, boys?
Gee, team's form is just beautiful at the moment. Three in a row. You must be feeling great about what you're doing.
Yeah, the confidence is sky high in the group at the moment, and a good reward for a lot of hard work, good effort, and it's paying dividends. So yeah, we're definitely enjoying our footy at the moment.
Bryce, it's Jay Clark here. What do you think is the big difference, or how would you explain the big difference in how you're moving the ball this year? Because you seem to be possessing it more across halfback and much more in control.
Yeah, I think we've just set up our defence really well. Once we turn the ball over, using first option and getting guys into the game, and probably the first few rounds we probably lacked a bit of polish. And on the weekend, I thought we nailed our skills a lot better, and we hit the scoreboard more. So I think, yeah, just defensively we've been really sound, and we're starting to get a bit more polish going forward.
Hey, and nice for Levi Casbolt to get some reward in front of the goals. I mean, there's no issues with marking and kicking further up the ground, but probably the big question mark, Bryce, has been the ability to kick goals when he needed to. But he found that form again yesterday, which was great.
Yeah, he did. And, it's a credit to him. Like, he's been trying, working that tirelessly on his goal kicking. And he's probably had a few people try to give him a few tips over the last couple of weeks. But, he stuck to his process and stuck to his routine. And it was nice for him to hit the scoreboard, and he kicked a couple of crucial goals for us late. So, and as you said, some of his markings, it's been phenomenal for us. One of the best contested marks in the comp, and he's a really important player for us.
Gibber, as a teammate and a friend, how much do you feel for Levi when he does have these goal-kicking issues, when he shanks them out of bounds on the ground? You know, do you deliberately try and get around him, or does it deflate the group? How do you handle that when it actually happens out on field?
I think we just got to get around him and tell him to forget. If he misses one, tell him to forget about it and move on pretty quickly. You know, he can't afford to harp on a miss or an out of bounds on the full. He's going to get opportunities to mark it, and when he has that next shot, just to go through his routine and put it through the big stick. So that's what we try to do for him.
What was your take on Matty Cruiser yesterday? Because I thought he played a very decisive hand in the centre clearances, particularly early, seemed to be getting first hand of the ball over Brody Grundy. What sort of form is Matty in, and how big a lift is he giving you in the engine room, knowing that Collingwood made a very genuine play to try and nab him as a free agent last year?
Yeah, he's been massive for us, and probably had a bit more... bit more pressure on him this week. Obviously we lost Andy Phillips last week with a hammy, so he had to shoulder the workload a bit more, and he's always up for the challenge, Big Cruz. The way he goes about his footy, his second and third efforts, once the ball hits the deck, he's like another midfielder, and you just know what you're going to get with him. 100% effort all the time, and he's starting to mark the footy around the ground more as well the last couple of weeks, and I just love playing with him.
Gibbsy, one of the players that probably doesn't get the accolades like he should is Doherty. I thought he was absolutely brilliant yesterday off half back. I obviously haven't seen every game that you've played live, but has he had a great year? Because he was brilliant yesterday.
He's been doing that from round one, Duck. He's one of the most underrated players in the comp, I reckon. The stuff he does off the ball, he just sets us up. Teams get clean air and they're running down the wing and they look up and they see him in positions and they decide not to kick the ball down there. And when they do kick the ball down there, he either spoils it or marks it. So he's had an unbelievable year and does a lot of things that a lot of people don't see off the ball.
Teams are scoring easily against Collingwood, Bryce, and Carlton notched its highest score of the season yesterday. How did you approach it? How did you try and cut through that Collingwood press? What was the approach?
Yeah, like I said, we defensively we've been really sound, and we probably just lacked a bit of polish going forward. So we knew if we could just be, you know, on with our skills and have good connection with our forwards, using the ball inside 50, we know we can get a result. So it was a focus during the week to make sure we hit those money kicks, I suppose, going inside 50, and We knew if we could do that, we could go close to win the game.
Hey, what is the thing, Bryce, that you've enjoyed the most about Brendan Bolton in his short time at the club?
I think just the way Brendan's gone about resetting the whole club. As you know, there's been a lot of changes at the club for the last sort of 12 months, and the way we've stripped it back and started again, he's really turned it into a whole-of-club mentality. You know, even things like he's getting staff members to come join us at training on a Monday. They come down and help run water and kick some footies to us, and just little things like that just creates a really whole-of-club atmosphere and gets everyone on the same page and building relationships with people in the footy department that you might not have had a relationship in the past. So just I think of the whole-of-club and everyone being on the same page heading in the one direction, I think it's been fantastic.
All right, we appreciate you joining us today. We done, Brian?
Oh, I think we're done, are we?
Okay, well, I think so, okay. Yeah, yeah. We're done, Bryce. And right. You can go away and rest up and enjoy the fact that you've won three in a row. Long way to go, but the Blues are doing some pretty good things. Well done, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, boys.
Let's talk a little bit of Gold Coast here. Ablett and the Suns. For those that haven't seen the vision, describe what happened, Jay-Z.
Well, after the game, there was a confrontation, and we never like to see these, do we, fellas? One of the irate Saints fans was just behind the Gold Coast bench, and he was seen to be shouting obscenities, really, and Gary Ablett, within earshot, says to the fan, mate, look, calm down, there's kids around, take it easy. So I think Gazza, while he may, you know, looking in hindsight, might not want to have engaged at all, I think he did the right thing because he tried to calm the tension. But what it shows, BT, is that the locals up there at Gold Coast, they're not happy with how their footy club is going. And I think it is fair enough because while we see the Greater Western Sydney Giants become a top four contender and there is just serious talent at that footy club, Gold Coast fellas are absolutely floundering. There are questions about Rodney Eade, much as we all love him.
Good to see some genuine passion from their supporters.
Yeah, well, they sort of get steady crowds, pretty low crowds. But, I mean, 2 years ago, remember they made a brilliant first half, or start to the first half of the season. We thought, this is a top eight side. I know Jagger O'Meara has been out. But what is happening to this football club, fellas?
Can I say their best player, Gary Ablett, their captain?
Yep.
I think he has now, his brain has been infected with injury.
Ooh.
And psych. His brain is psyched to injury.
He's suffered a psych out.
And he's psyched out. And I think his brain's been infiltrated with that. And so no longer is he wanting to bring on contests, head over, win hard ball.
Avoiding contact.
Avoiding the stuff that he's been so good at for so many years because of the injury thing. I think he's one of these players that just doesn't want to play with injury.
They are a side of individuals. They're not a team. They don't play team footy. They've got talent, but they don't play together. It's that talent is individual, and it's all about sort of me, and what they can do, and it doesn't come together consistently as a team. And that's why I thought Melbourne, although clearly have inconsistencies in the way they play, but you can see what they're trying to do, and you can see that they're together.
What about Ablett, though?
Ablett, everything you said, I totally agree with. Clearly, Gaz is not a player that can play with injury.
Here's what Rodney Eade, the coach, had to say.
He was asked to play a different role tonight. I thought he played that role pretty well until he went to the middle. He's still not his brilliant best because he's got enormous standards compared to mere mortals that play the game. As I said, it's a normal level, so we're comparing his reasonable form with a superstar. So he's not at that level, there's no doubt about that.
You just wonder what's going to happen. I mean, you just wonder if this continues to go south, what happens with Rodney Eade?
Well, he's a very old school, very hard, very intimidating coach.
And which is what they thought they needed.
Well, that was the theory behind it, wasn't it, BT? They bring this guy down to try to inject some discipline and hardness and direction to a young group, sort of toughen them up a little bit. And I think early on there were signs that was really working, but they've had a shocking run with injury. And now the questions are starting to bubble along and the pressure is really going up on this man.
But that's the thing about Rodney Eade. When Rodney Eade was at his best as a coach, I'm not privy to how he's coaching this team, BT. I don't know how he speaks to them. I don't know how he communicates. But at his best, he is that. He is that coach. He is hard-nosed. He is prickly. He does challenge you. He does, you know, at times...
Put it on you.
Is he doing that to this group because of the changed environment and the way coaches now coach? Maybe he's got to go back to how he used to be and be a little bit more hard-nosed. I think we, at times, when teams are in bad form, we can mollycoddle these players sometimes. Sometimes there are certain players that can handle being hit between the eyes with the blunt truth, and they need to be challenged. You can't mollycoddle everyone, and that's the great ability of coaches, knowing how to get the best out of each individual, and maybe he has to get back to maybe a little bit of that hard-nosed approach.
Swatter, they've lost four in a row. Brisbane, North, Geelong, Melbourne. Guess what? They're going to lose the next four. They play GWS, Adelaide, West Coast, Sydney in the next four games. That'll be eight in a row.
Yep. Probably. So if they drop, so what would that have them at the turn?
That will have them at 8-3.
How long has he got to go, Rocket?
3-8.
Well, I think he might be contracted for next year.
Look, I'm a fan of him. Played under him a long time ago. But I don't think that style of coaching suits the modern generation of football player. There aren't players. They're different. They think differently. They behave differently. They respond differently. And if you talk to a lot of the coaches, they use the old-fashioned bake sparingly, maybe two or three times a year, and not to an individual, but to the broader group. So I'm a bit surprised that the club would think that they needed somebody with that type of coaching philosophy.
I think they've got leading teams in place up there as well, haven't they?
I'm not sure. He's got an ability of getting groups to play reasonably good football, but for whatever reason, they're not doing that at the moment. And again, this proves the point. You can have a bucket load of top talent and great first-round draft picks.
They've had that.
That doesn't guarantee that you'll be successful. Conversely, what the Giants are building now, with regard, they've got 25 first-round draft picks.
Yep.
For whatever reason, the Giants are doing it really well and the Gold Coast Suns aren't doing it as well. Talent alone won't make you successful.
They've blasted past them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Slingshot.
So you can
they
only,
did have the benefit of an extra 12 months to sit back and watch what the Gold Coast Suns are
doing. You can only put that down to development, I reckon.
It's interesting what you said before, Schwatter. Very strong. Grant Thomas tweeted this morning. And he goes off sometimes, Grant, on Twitter, but he said, "I was stupefied when Suns appointed Ead. He's so far from what the team needs, it's not funny. Very good assistant Rocket, but not a club leader."
How would Tomo know?
I don't know. But that's a pretty strong assessment.
You know what I have an issue with?
What?
What's the solution?
Well,
with the comment,
yeah,
there's none. It's just playing the man.
Well, it's interesting that Duck said that he doesn't see the selflessness in the team play. He's saying individuals, you know, so they need to gel. This group needs to gel.
They need to gel as a team. Mm. And it's, to me, like, clearly they've got talent. Yeah. And they've got a lot of talent on the sidelines as well. Mm. I understand that. But since they've come into the competition, it has been about the individual. And Gary Ablett has been brilliant. And he's been brilliant. And he's been brilliant. But collectively, there's nothing.
All right, let's move on, boys. Done the Gold Coast. Geelong, Motlop. How did he play yesterday, boys? I didn't
Great.
See it. Swatter?
Played really well. Had a quiet start. Kicked four goals in the quarter. I think it was the second quarter. Really got them going. And you've got to sit back. I mean, going into that game yesterday, Duck, Geelong were the second best ranked defence for scores against. And apart from 17 minutes of total football for the West Coast Eagles yesterday, Geelong dominated the West Coast Eagles. And I really liked the developing combination. I love Zach Smith's introduction, and what that's allowing is that Reece Stanley and Mark Blitzarves are starting to get really nice chemistry as well. Tommy Hawkins well held. They got sufficient supply in front of goals yesterday from a number of different players, including Stevie.
Motlop, I wrote a bit of an article on Friday in the Age PT, it was about Selwood, but the investigation writing that article, delving into a couple of people, key people at Geelong, they said Motlop came back underdone, not in great shape, and he was challenged, a little bit embarrassed how he went, and has worked really, really hard to now get himself to a level, and his form is now showing that hard work. But I know that he was a little bit embarrassed in the way he came back.
Is he the point of difference? I mean, we talk about Selwood and Dangerfield, Schwatter.
He's the X factor.
He came runner-up in their best and fairest last year.
He did. Yeah. Just what does it he add to this group when you've got Motlop?
He adds a level of dynamic football. I mean, he's X-factor. A great...
X-factor.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got the guns in the midfield in Dangerfield and Selwood, and you've got this kid who can do something magical fairly consistently. Yeah. So I mean, he's just a terrific young player, and let's hope that he continues that through the year.
He can rip you to bits with the minimum amount of effort, I reckon. Motlop, he's that sort of player. Very smooth operator. By the way, Duck, just writing for the paper and just how do you do that? Do you write that or do you get someone to write it?
No,
what I suggest.
In the old days, they used to have
ghostwriters.
Scotty Palmer used to write for everyone.
Have someone that over.
Best wishes to Scotty too. I believe he's doing it hard at the moment. Best wishes to him.
Someone overlooks, you know, has a look at it. But I spend a lot of time on it. It's the one thing that I spend most time on during the week.
The Duck doesn't write his own.
Why is it that I can't see you sitting in an office?
It's funny because the spoken word, the crap you talk, can be spoken and forgotten about very quickly. But for whatever reason, the written word to me, it's got to be perfect. I go over it.
Goes in the anals or annals? of history. Which one, Duck?
It was an interesting article, Duck, because you said that do you need an alpha dog or can you have two alpha dogs in the same midfield?
I thought that what Dangerfield clearly was going to help Selwood because, you know, he'd take all those obvious reasons. But also I thought that when you're the best, and Selwood's been the best and he's their best player, and arguably at times been the best player in the competition, that would drive you to want to be better, and not in a jealousy way, but that's what I thought. But then delving into it, found out that Joel was one that was really he's actually quite embarrassed when Danger got there because he couldn't train because of his foot, and he's sitting on the sideline. Dangerfield's burning up the track. Nice sitting there going, oh, I'm the cat. I want to prove to him what I can do. And it was like a big brother swatter saying, you know, I can play this game. He wanted Danger's respect. That's my understanding of what, you know, to show him what he could do. And he's most certainly, and he didn't need to do that. But it's interesting, apparently, the way he thinks.
I think he'll win the Brownlow this year, Dangerfield.
Yeah,
I think he'll win it.
Schwatter at North Melbourne. Was it quite clear that Wayne was the alpha dog and everyone else was in the hierarchy that?
Be honest.
You could draw that conclusion.
Oh, be honest, Schwatter. Despite what people may think, there was never a division. And that was the one, I think that was the strength of, and it's a strength of any team. If you start thinking that you're here and everyone else is there, then the team aspect of it, goes missing.
No, it was everybody outside of the club that made it that way.
So you would have been prepared, Duck,
got a couple of liberties, but
in the height of your dizzy days, to go and play in the back pocket if that's what was required.
Dennis Pagan moved me to centre half back the start of '98, I think it was, maybe start of '98, and I wasn't real happy about it playing centre half. But he thought all of a sudden he was going to, you know, defence was the big thing. And we so that lasted, I think, a few weeks of that season, and then Fremantle were near the bottom, we were near the top, and Fremantle were beating us at half time, and he moved me back to centre forward.
How many did you kick?
Seven.
We must have
after half time, but then he said to me straight after the game. So, and that's a true story. So he kicked seven after we won the game, and he grabbed me after the game, pulled me in. He said, "If I ever play you centre half back again, punch me in the
head." we must have a new segment called Duck's Recollection. And go back to some of these moments that no one would have ever heard about. Swatter, you were there to witness them because you won two best and fairest under Duck's reign. But it just would be good to have Duck's recollections, I reckon, of moments that were happening, especially with Pagan, because he sounds like such a personality, doesn't he?
A lot of people didn't see Dennis Pagan's personality. He was a seriously funny guy. And that, once again, getting back to Rodney Eade, and it sort of flows into that, his great ability to know. Don't get me wrong, he broke a few people that probably could have been, you know, maybe better players if he didn't break them. But he had an ability to know when to prickle you, when not to, when to give you a little bit of leeway, when to pull you in. And that's the ability Mick Malthouse had as well.
I can remember just a quick story, because old stories are good for a bit of fun. But I can remember Lee Matthews in his height at Collingwood, must have been a year or two. He might have even been 1990. Can't remember what year it was, but around about then. And he said, right, because at Collingwood in the old rooms there, we just had the gym. And so you'd come in at half time and he'd have to address the players in front of everyone, because there was no little separate room where you could go in and find, you know, just the players and the coach could talk together. Right. So Lee Matthews had a a temporary four walls erected in the gym. Yep. So it was just four walls. It was about 4 metres by 4 metres. And at the end of the game, the four walls would be taken down and put away. It was a, you know, demountable thing. And off you'd go and you'd be back into your normal gym. And I remember, excuse me, I remember this particular game. And I don't think I'd touched it to half time. And I come in and Lee's, going off. And then he points me. I'm sitting in the front row and he absolutely gives it to me. You know, yeah, no good, haven't had a touch of Wiggins piss, you know. Blah, blah, blah. So I cracked the shits and I got up and I just pushed the wall and all four walls fell over. And they all went out like this. They parted, and we're sitting there in the middle of the gym, no longer in this room. It's quite funny how it happened. I wanted to ask you guys, Jade, what's going on with Yaron at the moment? What have you heard about Chris Yaron at Richmond and when he's going to be ready to play, if he's going to be ready to play?
Well, remember about 4 to 6 weeks ago, he had foot surgery. So initially over the preseason, he came in overweight. Then he had the calf setbacks as he tried to increase his fitness. And then he had a foot problem. So they put him in for foot surgery and thought that would be a great thing for him. But that was about 4 to 6 weeks ago. And they said he'd be about 4 or 6 weeks away. But they're still not putting any time frame on his recovery. So now, he's still out indefinitely, Brian.
Your journalistic sort of knowledge, when clubs are not prepared to put a time limit on it in terms of weeks or a timetable on it, what does that mean?
It means not anytime soon.
Yeah.
And usually that they're a bit concerned about it.
Yeah.
So there is a cloud still hanging over Chris Yaron. And you have to ask the question, Brian, with Richmond going the way they are, and fellas, are we going to see him at all this year?
Yeah, there would be some doubt over that at the moment from the storm clouds gathering down there.
You would hope in rehab at the moment, he's impressing the pants off his teammates because he came in pre-season, overweight, unfit. You would hope he'd be there from sunup to sundown, getting as much massage, doing as much off-legs fitness, doing every bit of pull work imaginable to try to gain the respect of his teammates. And if he's not doing that, fellas, then I reckon you got to put a really big line through this whole recruitment.
Well, Dan Richardson, we spoke to him last week, and
You asked him the question was posed, and what did he say?
He wasn't happy. No. He was really disappointed. It's my understanding that when he got to Richmond, and he was injured.
Yaron.
Yep. Bigavan was on the way back from an injury, and there was a training session, and couldn't find Chrissy Yaron. So Bigavan took it upon himself to ring him, and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm home." He goes, "What do you mean you're at home? You're meant to be in rehab recovering." He goes, "Well, at Carlton, I didn't have to go to training if I was injured. So I'm not at training." And Big Ivan said, "No, you get in the car and you get yourself to this football club and get your stuff together."
That's amazing.
And get fair income.
That is unbelievable.
Yep.
A little insight there too, perhaps what's going on
What's your gut feel, Brian, just before we finish?
Oh, my gut feel is I reckon he's in trouble for this year. Mm. He is exactly the type of player that Richmond need. They need three of these guys. They need someone that can kick it and someone that can run. And he can do both of those things, but only when he's playing his absolute best footy.
Pick 19,
yep.
Richmond fans, how are they feeling about the whole trade at the moment?
I reckon they'd be dirty on it right now.
It stinks.
Dirtying up. Coaches, I reckon, would be starting to dirty up. I don't know what time frame they put on him coming back from the surgery and whether that's now expired beyond the time limit.
Well, it makes you think that the impressing the pants of the teammates is not happening and he's not doing the work.
What were we going to do now? Lewis Jetta, were we?
Well, just before we finish, we talk about Motlop being on fire for the Cats earlier. Lewis Jetta, another sort of enigmatic wingman who is sensational, he's on fire, Schwatter. You saw him yesterday. How's he travelling? I sense there's some frustration building with his form at the moment.
Poorly. Really poorly. Watched him really closely. He had tendencies to do this at Sydney, but I was keen to see how he went about his craft yesterday, given the importance of the win and the opportunity on the road. Every time he ran off and had a spell, he didn't run off flat out. He wasn't gassed when he ran out, ran off the ground. And he's a sometimes player, and that is only on his terms. When he wants to go, he can light up a game of footy, but he doesn't go consistently enough. He's not prepared to push himself to the absolute limit enough.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Only he can ask himself that question, BT. But if you're prepared to play footy on your terms, then you're not prepared to do what's required from the team's point of view. And Brownie was pretty strong yesterday, and I don't disagree with it. I don't know, what's he on, 500?
Yep.
Well, his ROI is at the moment. He's not giving anything in return to that footy club, and I think he's better off going back into the waffle for at least 4 weeks until he's prepared to come to terms with the fact I need to be a better elite professional football player, and until I get to that stage, I don't play. He's a match winner, but he doesn't do it consistently enough.
Well, I said last week, though, my tip for the flag. You said they can't win away from home, and you're damn right. What did Adam Simpson say about Jeddah this morning, Brian?
I can't remember what he said. He was asked the question, but I can't say I was hooked into what he said as an answer there. Can't remember.
It's reported that he said he's been very disappointed, that he needs a lift, needs a lift out of Lewis. They're going to be patient with him because it is in his first season getting used to his new teammates, blah, 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 and the system. But
hang on a minute. Patient with him. How many seasons has he been in the system?
Yeah, a few.
And he's come from a successful football club. He knows the caper.
Mm.
When you put your hand out for big money and you've been in the system a number of years, at some point you have to come to terms with the fact that I've got to lift my own level up consistently as opposed to being patient. He knows the system. He knows the game.
Mm.
And we're almost halfway through a season.
Levi Casbolt, guys. Gun forward, good contested mark. Kicking was probably a little bit better yesterday. Kicking historically is not great. Trying to get help, trying to improve, doesn't seem to be making a lot of difference. Could this guy... Is this going to stop him from being one of the elite forwards in the competition and one of the elitely paid forwards in the competition?
Oh, well, if kicking's not your strong point, then clearly that affects that beta. He's a beautiful mark. He marked the ball really well yesterday. He's had his inconsistencies with his marking as well this year. But when he's on, there's no one clunks him like he does. Mm. And he kicked his first two, and they were from close in, but still has to go back and kick the ball straight, and then he kicked the one from outside 50, which is a really nice kick. That's the one that he doesn't think about it enough. It's all hand to foot with him, BT, and as you know, that at training, when you've got someone standing over you and saying, okay, guide it down, do this, do that, then you get out there and for whatever reason, he's not doing that consistently. So it's about the ball drop.
Sav Rocker was teaching him. Has he completely disappeared off the scene? Is he doing it privately with him, Jay-Z?
I don't believe he's had any involvement with him this year. No, he did.
I think that's one of the problems. I think when you go to these coaches and they want to change and they want to correct you, you've got to stick it out. That coach can't be just there for 5 minutes or 4 weeks. He's got to be there for a couple of years because this has got to be indelibly imprinted into your action.
Is there room for players? Now, we've all done it. I catch up with players often. Players call me up and say, Duck, and let's go and have a chat and all that sort of stuff. I've done it for years.
Chicken sandwich.
I've done it.
Any names?
But is there room?
Jesse Hogan.
Is there room for ex-players going outside the club and seeking help from someone else, paying them for their help, and it's fully tax deductible for the player? You know, if the player goes and does that, that is him improving his job, so he gets it all back.
Some outside tuition for coaching.
That would make perfect sense. It would scare the hell out of my favourite people.
How much for you, BT?
The head of conditioning.
How much would you charge a player if he said, I need some help, I want to sit down with you twice a week or catch up with you twice a week for an hour.
For a year.
For a year.
You'd want 20 grand. I'm probably selling myself at about...
Pitch.
A fifth of the price that you would be, but
what?
That's all
no,
right.
No, well, and you know what? If I was at Casbolt and you thought BT, that's money well spent.
Well, what's Levi?
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting because Levi, because
he improves his kicking, he gets 100 more on his contract.
He's worth if he's a marking forward as he is now and a goal
and
kicking specialist,
he nails those goals he misses.
He is a $700,000 a year forward in the market, as distinct from $500,000.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So 20 grand is money well spent.
Now, Duck. So BT is going to charge 20 when you launch this business. And what are you going with?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. But it is interesting, and I don't know whether players or the clubs have ever thought about it. I think sometimes the clubs get a little bit funny, BT, because their coaches are telling them one thing,
our people, the sports scientists and head of conditioning, would be shivering at the prospect of a player being coached outside their coaching staff in private time, which is just a joke. It's just a fact that their insecurity just wouldn't be able to handle that, and they wouldn't like anyone having more than a few kicks and exercising.
Duck's phone just sort of lit up, Brian. Yours, nothing on yours. But
well, what do you mean?
Text messages.
My wife, in fact, has just texted me and she said, look, rather than coaching anyone, could you possibly come home and see me at some stage? I'll give you 25, she said. So that'll be good. I've got to say, and I didn't expect it, but there's been no fanfare here for Drew so far. I'm sure something will come soon. There's a lot of former players that are here to honour the fact that Drew's played his 300th. But at the moment, it's been very, very low-key, Swatter, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. But perhaps that's the way that Drew wants it. Just get about his business and go and do what he needs to do. Mm.
Paddy Dangerfield, boys, next week. He's been in really sparkling form. He returns to the Adelaide Oval to take on Adelaide. I wonder what he can expect to find in that. What do you think is going to happen, Jay-Z?
Well, I think the spotlight will be on him. It'll all be about Patrick Dangerfield this week because he returns to the footy club, which he led, you know, so magnificently, but he's firing it on all cylinders at Geelong. Would he be intimidated? Would he be nervous? Would he have the butterflies? I mean, he wrote a great column in the Herald Sun today, and I'm sure we'll get to that, but, Duck, would he have the butterflies before a game like this, do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Old club, old teammates.
First one's the hardest one.
He bled for that footy club. Went through a lot, obviously, with what happened at the footy club with Phil Walsh. And that emotion and that bond that he would have with that footy club would be enormous. But so it will be an emotional day for him, no question.
Jay-Z, do we know anything about the last year he had at Adelaide in terms of, the announcement came at the end of his playing days, of course. Have you heard anything about what actually transpired there?
Well, he went in depth in his column today in the Sunday Herald Sun and said he wanted to tell the football club mid-year that he wanted out. Right. He said he had a conversation with his manager, Paul Connors, and said, you know, he's feeling the burden and pressure, blah, 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 and that, you know, he wanted to do the right thing by the club and let them know.
Mid-year.
But he said, Paul pointed this out, that the AFL industry just isn't ready yet because you've got to consider how your teammates are going to react, how the coaching staff are going to react, how the fans are going to react. So it was bigger than just him. So he sort of said, I worked out that I had to actually just carry this for the rest of the season for the benefit of the whole club. We just have to, you know, keep saying that I'm focusing on my football and not worrying about that. And
would the footy world have handled it? How would we have handled it if he'd come out halfway through his final year at Adelaide and said, I'm playing out my time at Adelaide, but I'm playing with Geelong next year?
Well, we make comments through the course of a year as to whether or not we think he's staying or going. So, at the end of the day, what difference would it make?
I say we, the media, blow everything out of proportion. So we would have made a big deal of it, and it would have been blown bigger than Ben Hur.
But don't you think Patrick Dangerfield is a special case? Like, is that going to impact his performance for the Adelaide Footy Club over the last 3 months of last season?
But that's what was so impressive about Paddy, is the fact that he carried it, and the way he conducted himself in how he played for that footy club, that was his best year. It's his only BNF at that footy club. So he you could almost, and I can't talk for him, but I felt that he was almost, because he knew he was leaving, he was almost, you know what, I don't want to leave this club with you thinking that I didn't give you my absolute all before I left. And that's exactly what he did. And that's why I think the fans for Adelaide, and they're a classy bunch of fans, Adelaide, and I think that they will be quite respectful to Paddy Dangerfield, given what he gave to them last year.
What do you think, BT? As the industry, you've got a good feel for the media, and
I think the industry would have exploded. Yeah? I think if he'd come out mid-year, we wouldn't have handled it well.
Really,
there would have been a major inquisition into the whole thing, and this is against the rules, and how's he done this, and we're not ready. I just think the whole thing would have gone out. It happens all the time in the NRL, where they just say, oh, okay, we'll move on.
Do you think we'll ever get to that stage, BT, where it is just out in the open?
Can't see it happening in the near future. Maybe in the long term, but not in the near future. Well, you'd think yourself, Jay-Z, you're a journo. If that had come out and you'd been the one that was carrying that story, that would have been back page, front page of the Herald Sun.
Yeah, and we would have made a massive deal of it. Mm. There's no doubt about that. But I just think in his case...
So because of us, players have to lie.
Yeah, and that's what he said that he did.
It brings up another interesting point, actually. And I just wonder when Duck, like, you know, how long you've been out of the footy now, Duck?
2004, it's right.
Just wondering whether Ducks, when he's going to come round to being
a media man,
totally immersed in media world, and that he's going
to... I say we. I'm a part of it.
No, but like, you know, and at the moment. He's very player driven. That's okay.
Always has been.
We always get that gets washed out of us eventually. And
so when are you going to turn into a cynical
I tell you what you've always got to remember, and what I always correct myself with. And that is...
Oh, boy.
What was that?
That was you. You're on TV. Channel 7. You've just broken into a live broadcast on Channel 7.
Correct myself with remembering how tough it was as a player, BT, and the ups and downs and swings and roundabouts and roller coaster that we go through. So very, very, sympathetic to what players go through, and also... clearly, I'm not going to stand there and judge in certain things, and shouldn't have comment in certain things, because I'd be a hypocrite to have those opinions. So you should maybe just take a little leaf out of maybe my
stuff. You've just been schooled again.
Real glass eye stuff. How did you go
when you changed teams?
The next 10 years. Jesus, God help me.
How did you go against your old Bob when you changed teams? How did you find that?
When I changed?
Yeah.
When I played for them,
yeah,
it was motivating. Loved it. It was great to show them that, you know, you could play. I think I think I kicked 8 or something. I can't remember the exact details of it, but it was a significant amount of majors against my old Mob Tigers. I think it was 8. I think I kicked 5 1/4. I can't remember. Anyway, didn't really remember.
Well, Stevie J had a good day out against the Cats. He had no dramas.
Time now for...
This is Wayne Carey's Duck Shoot.
That's gone from a shotgun to a machine gun.
Did Richmond improve on Friday night, Duck?
Yes. They were really good for three quarters. Let themselves down in the last quarter when Hawthorn... They were killing them in contested footy, hard footy. Hawthorn turned it around in the last quarter.
If any of the umpires started giving you or your team a bit of a raw deal, did you ever sort of have a bit of chat with the umpires back in the day?
Yes, and I'm not proud of it. The days were different back then when you did back chat the umpire. And I love the fact that this new respect that players have to have with the umpires. And I'm actually quite embarrassed about some of the banter that we... Goldspink and myself would often stand there and have a bit of chatter with one another. And I remember opponents standing there going, wow, you two don't like one another, do you?
Another loss away from home, Duck, a West Coast Pretenders?
No, I don't think they are, Swatter, but they have to fix that. You have to win away from home if you're going to win a grand final. They've got some work to do, but I don't think they're pretenders.
The statue that we spoke about and you agreed with last week at the MCG, statue of Wayne Carey, you know, if Lee's got one, the King could have one. Which, it has got some wheels, and we have had some inquiries from a bronzer. Pose would you like to have represent yourself on the statue at the G?
There is a mark that I took on Mick Martin in an intra-club game where it's the best mark I've ever taken on anyone, and it so happened to be on Mick, where I just stood on his head. That way Mick could maybe sort of be under it.
Geelong are in the grand final. You're the opposition coach. You get to tag one of Selwood and Dangerfield. Who do you go to?
Selwood. Still Selwood. Really? Because for whatever reason, I still think that he's just a barometer of the footy club. He's their heart. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. So go to the heart. And we're just having a look at that grab right there.
We should tweet that. At Triple M 40. You'll see that. It's a bloody beauty.
If you're going to tweet that mark out, get the one where I'm actually upright. Where I'm fully upright. That's me coming down, BT.
Look at old Doris sitting over near the car around the perimeter piping. She didn't get that excited about it.
She did.
Duck, how do you get Gold Coast playing as a team?
That comes from your leader, Swatter. It comes from your captain. It comes from Rodney Eade. All of that. How do you do it? That's the magical question. Without being there, I'm not sure what they're doing or how they're going about it at the moment.
Will Gary Ablett be captain next year, the Gold Coast Suns?
I would think so. Yep.
And by the way, Fremantle, has Ross Lyon, by saying we're going into rebuild mode, completely scuttled any scuttlebuck that would have been spoken about him in regard to his coaching now? In other words, is he going under the radar as a result of the action they've taken?
I think the one thing about Ross Lyon is he's always open and fairly direct, and I think he's been that right till now. And he's now saying, you know what, no, this is the path we're taking and we're going down that. And I thought he, as soon as Fife got injured and he said he won't be rushing Fife back and he doesn't care if he's out for the year, that for me was putting the cue in the rack and saying, now we've got some work to do and we're going to start building it from here.
Which of your opponents did you have the most fun with on the field? Who could you have a good banter with?
Teammates?
No, opponent.
Opponents?
Did you ever sort of have a chat and be more lighthearted?
No, I wasn't a chatter to my opponents. I let my actions do the talking, oh, BT. No. and Dennis always said, Dennis, the one thing so. Dennis said, I would sort of have a bit of a crack at other people's opponents, but Dennis always said, you can beat your opponent, but never humiliate him. So that everyone will have their day. So always very respectful.
Logies tonight. What particular category are you expected to be nominated in?
Me, I'm not nominated. I told you something that you don't know.
We haven't done that segment yet.
No, I know. But a couple of weeks ago, I said that I heard the whisper that Mangrook Footy Show was a big chance for the Logie, for the best footy show.
Gee.
So we'll just wait and see on that one, BT.
Okay. $1.01.
Adelaide been unlucky with their three losses.
How many more have we got?
A couple more.
What?
A couple more. Adelaide, have they been unlucky with their three losses so far?
You make your own luck. They've lost some close games. Unfortunately, when you get to the end of the season, you win those close ones, Swatter. They add up, and they've got to start to learn. They've got to win a couple of these close ones if they're going to finish in the top four.
Time now for Tell Me Something I Don't Know, Jay-Z. What have you got for us this week?
Well, this is something which is just smouldering along in the background, and I expect it to be big news very soon. You know how we keep saying about the Essendon 12 and how they'll be able to leave their footy club if they want to?
Mm.
Right. Well, the legal advice to the Bombers is that those players won't be able to walk out. And any player who does try and exit with this duty of breach of care may find themselves back at Essendon. So the Essendon Football Club is becoming, only very recently, upon very strong legal advice, increasingly confident that the Essendon 12, Hurley, etc., Heppel, those guys, won't be able to just walk out of the club because of the supplement scandal. So stay tuned for that sort of stuff over the next couple of weeks. That
Swatter,
may be
what do you got for us?
I just want to back over something I might have said about 6 weeks ago about Chris Yaron, Brian.
What about something new?
Let's have a listen to it.
Chris Yaron. There's also a suggestion that he'd be doing well to play a game with the Tigers in the second half of this year.
Wow.
There you go. And just to add on the Richmond stuff at the moment, Brian, young man Liam McBean was the equal leading goal kicker in the VFL last year with 42.
Yep.
3 weeks ago, he kicked 5 in the VFL, has not played a single game for the Tigers in 2016. It's my understanding that he has gone to his manager and said, explore all options, I am open to leave.
Liam McBean.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Can't get a game for the Tigers, knows how to kick the goals.
Do you know who was equal goal kicker with leading in the VFL last year?
About to tell me.
Sam Grimley.
Yep,
Grimmer. Duck, what do you
That's
got for
been
us?
A big... The Saturday rub's different to today, so I just want to say, BT, that I did a...
Sounds like he's going to back over something.
it was for a very good cause. I did an 8-kilometre obstacle course yesterday in Mornington.
Ooh.
And it was for it was called the Wild One, ran by Engineers Without Borders, it's applying support for poverty-stricken areas.
It's a raw plug.
So Southside Fitness Gymnasium, we got together and we went and did that yesterday. It was...
Who are the members of Southside Gymnasium?
Southside Fitness? Well, yes. They're the people that train there, BT.
Oh, you know them personally? Or
I know Lee Impey. He's the owner of the gym, and... He organised about 40 people, but we did it in group, Swatter. It was at the end of something like that, the obstacles, we got redbacks crawling over us, going through mud, up tyres, all sorts of stuff, over walls. It was really challenging, but at the end of it, very, very rewarding. And I just wanted to give that a little...
Needless to say, not a lot of juice coming out of the duck today. We're just seeing some live pictures here at the moment of Alan Richardson talking to his team in the room. We're just about ready to go here. It's about to get underway. We've got Howie joining us in just a few moments.
Brian.
Ask Chew joining us.
Did you offer anything up in that little suit, which is yours?
I don't offer.
What do you mean?
Where's
your barrel us if we don't give you something
that,
half decent.
I've got no juice.
What do you got?
We're renaming this segment
what
to
you
tell
got?
Me something I told you last
night. Bugger all.
Or yesterday.
I am so deflated by what I've heard in this crap segment that there is some chance it'll be put on hold because what you three have just delivered.
Maybe we need to
does not
have a rest
of
a couple of weeks until we get some.
That's right.
Doesn't deserve any of my gold to be attached with such a rampantly inconsistent, horrible mess here at the moment.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.